running, but that didn't matter because something somewhere went clonk, and everything stopped. From the crowd at the hedge, there were shouts of, "Get out and milk it!" "We had one, but the end fell off." "Tuppence more and up goes the donkey!" And other time-honoured witticisms. Simnel got down, held a whispered conversation with Peedbury and his men, and then disappeared into the machinery for a moment.
"It'll never fly. Veal will be cheap tomorrow."
This time the combination harvester got several feet before one of the rotating sheets split and folded up. By now some of the older men at the hedge were doubled up with laughter.
"Any old iron, sixpence a load." "Fetch the other one. This one's broke."
Simnel got down again. Distant catcalls drifted towards him as he untied the sheet and replaced it with a new one. He ignored them. Without moving his gaze from the scene in the opposite field, Bill Dawe pulled a sharpening stone out of his pocket and began to hone his scythe slowly and deliberately. Apart from the distant clink of the blacksmith's tools, the ship-ship of stone on metal was the only sound in the heavy air. Simnel climbed back into the harvester and nodded to the man leading the horse.
"Here we go again. Any more for the skylark? Put a sock in it."
The cries trailed off. Half a dozen pairs of eyes followed the combination harvester up the field, stared while it was turned around on the headland, watched it come back again. It clicked past, reciprocating and oscillating. At the bottom of the field, it turned around neatly. It whirred by again. After a while, one of the watchers said gloomily,
"It'll never catch on, you mark my words."
"Right enough. Who's going to want a gadget like that?"
said another.
"Sure, and it's only like a big clock. Can't do anything more than go up and down a field."
"Very fast."
"Cutting the corn like that and stripping the grain off."
"It's done 3 rows already."
"Bugger me."
"You can't hardly see the bits move. What do you think of that, Bill?" "Bill?"
They looked around. He was halfway up his second row, but accelerating. Miss Flitworth opened the door a fraction.
"Yes?"
she said suspiciously.
"It's Bill Dawe, Miss Flitworth. We brought him home."
She opened the door wider.
"What happened to him?"
The two men shuffled in awkwardly, trying to support a figure a foot taller than they were. It raised its head and squinted muzzily at Miss Flitworth.
"Don't know what came over him,"
said Duke Bottomley.
"He's a devil for working," said William Spigot. "You're getting your money's worth out of him all right, Miss Flitworth."
"It'll be the first time, then, in these parts,"
she said sourly.
"Up and down the field like a madman, trying to be better than that contraption of Ned Simnel's. Took 4 of us to do the binding. He nearly beat it, too.
Put him down on the sofa. We told him he was doing too much in all that, son."
Duke craned his neck to see around the kitchen, just in case jewels and treasure were hanging out of the dresser drawers. Miss Flitworth eclipsed his view.
"I'm sure you did, thank you. Now I expect you'll be wanting to be off home."
"If there's anything we can do..."
"I know where you live. And you ain't paid no rent there for 5 years, too. Goodbye, Mr. Spigot."
She ushered them to the door and shut it in their faces. Then she turned around.
"What the hell have you been doing, Mr. So-called Bill Dawe?"
"I am tired, and it won't stop."
Bill Dawe clutched at his skull.
"Also, Spigot gave me a humorous apple juice fermented drink because of the heat, and now I feel ill."
"I ain't surprised he makes it up in the woods. Apples isn't the half of it."
"I have never felt ill before, or tired."
"It's all part of being alive."
"How do humans stand it?"
"Well, fermented apple juice can help."
Bill Dawe sat staring gloomily at the floor.
"But we finished the field," he said with a hint of triumph. "All stacked in stooks. Or possibly the other way round."
He clutched at his skull again.
"Ugh."
Miss Flitworth disappeared into the scullery. There was the creaking of a pump. She returned with a damp flannel and a glass of water.
"There's a newt in it."
"Shows it's fresh,"
said Miss Flitworth, fishing the amphibian out and releasing it on the flagstones where it scuttled away into a crack. People have believed for hundreds of years that newts in a well mean that the water's fresh and drinkable, and in all that time